Sri Bhagavan says, you who wish to celebrate the birthday, seek first whence was your birth. One's true birthday is when he enters that which transcends birth and death, the eternal being. Guru's grace is always there. You imagine it as something somewhere high up in the sky, far away, and has to descend. It is really inside you, in your heart, and the moment you affect subsidence or merger of the mind into its source, the grace rushes forth, spouting as from a spring from within you. When a devotee reaches a certain stage and becomes fit for enlightenment, the same God whom he was worshiping comes as guru and leads him on. The guru comes only to tell him, God is within yourself. Dive within and realize. God, Guru, and the Self are the same. Grace is within you. If it were external, it would be useless. Grace is the Self. It is not something to be acquired from others. All that is necessary is to know its existence in you. You are never out of its operation. Grace is ever there. It is not manifest because of ignorance prevailing. With Shraddha, faith, it will become manifest. Shraddha, grace, light, spirit, are all synonymous with the Self. Grace is the beginning, middle, and end. Grace is the Self. Because of the false identification with the body, grace is considered to be embodied. But the Guru's outlook is to see only the Self. The Self is only one. He tells you that the Self alone is not the Self your grace? Where will grace come from? From the Self only. Manifestation of the Self is the manifestation of grace, and vice versa. All its doubts arise because of one's wrong outlook and consequent expectation of things external to oneself. Nothing is external to the Self. The highest form of grace is silence. It is also the highest spiritual instruction. All other modes of instruction are derivations from silence and are therefore secondary. Silence is the primary form.
Realization is beyond expression. Expression always fails to describe it, although the expression of realization is impossible, still its existence is indicated. It is said the whole Vedanta can be compressed into four words, deham, naham, koham, soham. Deham is naham, the body is not I. If one inquires koham, that is, who am I, if one inquires whence this I springs and realizes it, then in the heart of such a one, the omnipresent God will shine as I. Asa aham or soham, that is, he will know that I am, that is I. Just as a lamp spontaneously goes out if not fed with oil, so also the ego becomes extinct if one meditates unceasingly and becomes merged in the self. There is no higher gain than the self. The sun is there and shines, and you are surrounded by sunlight. Still, if you would know the sun, you must turn your eyes in its direction and look at it. Similarly, grace is only to be found by effort, although it is here and now.
He who sees the self sees the self alone in the world also. It is immaterial to the enlightened whether the world appears or not. In either case, his attention is turned to the self. It is like the letters and the page on which they are printed. You are so engrossed in the letters that you forget about the paper, but the enlightened sees the paper as the substratum, whether the letters appear on it or not. He who is forgetful of the self, mistaking the physical body for it, and goes through innumerable births, is like one who wanders all over the world in a dream. Thus, realizing the self would only be like waking up from the dream wanderings. One who asks himself, "Who am I and where am I?" though existing all the while as the self, is like a drunken man who inquires about his own identity and whereabouts. While in fact the body is in the self, he who thinks that the self is within the insentient body is like one who considers the cloth of the screen, which supports a cinema picture, to be contained within the picture. Does an ornament exist apart from the gold of which it is made? Where is the body apart from the self? He who considers the body to be himself is an ignorant man. He who regards himself as the self is the enlightened one and has realized the self. The jnani sees no one as an anjani. All are jnanis in his sight. In the ignorant state one superimposes one's ignorance on a jnani and mistakes him for a doer. In the state of jnana, the jnani sees nothing separate from the self. The self is all shining and only pure jnana. If the self has a form, then the world and God have too. But if the self is formless, then how and by whom are forms to be seen? Is the spectacle ever different from the eye that sees it? The real eye is just the real self. It is infinite consciousness, formless and worldless. There are different ways to Tiruvannamalai, but Tiruvannamalai is the same by whichever way it is gained. Similarly, the approach to realization varies according to the personality, yet the self is the same. But still, being in Tiruvannamalai, to ask the way to it is ridiculous. So also, being the self, to ask how to realize the self, looks absurd. You are the self, remain as the self, that is all. Questions arise because of the present wrong identification of the self with the body. That is ignorance. That must go. On its removal, the self alone is. As the sky is in no way affected by the formation and dispersion of clouds, so the real self is in no way affected by the birth and death of the body. As a sculptured dog conceals the stone of which it is made when taken to be a real dog, and is seen to be only stone and not a dog when its truth is known, so is this world in the status of ignorance and of illumination respectively. The individual, the world, and God are illusory creations in the Supreme Reality, like the snake in the rope. Knowing this, be happy in unity with that blissful one by dissolving the three in him. Self-inquiry, by following the clue of Ahamvritti, is just like the dog tracing its master by its scent. The master may be at some distant, unknown place, but that does not at all stand in the way of the dog tracing him. The master's scent is an infallible clue for the animal, and nothing else counts, such as the dress he wears, or his build, stature, etc. To that scent, the dog holds on undistractedly while searching for him, and finally it succeeds in tracing him. The state of non-emergence of the little or ego I is the state of your being that. Without questing for the state of the non-emergence of I and attaining it, how can one accomplish one's own extinction, whereafter the ego I never revives? Without that attainment, how is it possible to abide in one's own state where one is that? Questing, who am I, within one's mind, when one reaches the heart, the individual I sings crestfallen, and at once reality manifests itself spontaneously as I. Though it reveals itself thus, it is not the ego I, but the perfect being, the absolute self. The I casts off the illusion of the ego I and remains as I. Take the case of the Bhakta. His ego I prays to the Lord to unite it with him, which is his surrender. What remains as residuum after this surrender is the eternal I, which is the absolute God or Paramatman himself. What has happened to the I which had originally prayed? Being unreal, it simply vanished. Who is it that says that I is not perceptible? Is there an I ignorant and an I elusive? Are there two eyes in the same person? It is the mind that says that I is not perceptible. What is the source of the mind? If you seek for the mind, you will find it to be unreal. Knowing the self as being the self, and being means existence, one's own existence, which no one denies, any more than one denies one's eyes, although one cannot see them. The trouble lies with one's desire to objectify the self in the same way as one objectifies one's eyes when one places a mirror before them. One has been so accustomed to objectify that one has lost the knowledge of oneself simply because the self cannot be objectified. Who is to know the self? Can the insentient body or mind know it? All the time one speaks and thinks of one's I. Yet when questioned, one denies knowledge of it. You are the self, yet you ask how to know the self? Know thyself is what is usually said. Even that is not correct. For if we talk of knowing the self, there must be two selves, one a self-knowing, another the self which is known. The state we call realization is simply being the self, not knowing anything or becoming anything. If one has realized, one is that which alone is, and which alone has always been. I exist is the only permanent, self-evident experience of everyone. Nothing else is so self-evident as I am. What people call self-evident, that is, the experience they get through the senses, is far from self-evident. The self alone is that. Pratyaksha, self-evidence, is another name for the self. For one who has realized that state of perfect being, which is the inherent bliss indescribable of the self absolute, nothing else remains to be accomplished. The self is one, and self-knowledge is unique in that the knowing self is itself the known self. It can never become a known or unknown object. How is it that Atma Vidya is said to be the easiest? Any other vidya requires a knower, knowledge, and the object to be known, whereas Atma Vidya does not require any of them. It is the self. Can anything be more obvious than that? Hence it is the easiest. All that you need do is to inquire, who am I? A man's true name is Mukti, liberation. There is no difference between Jivan Mukti and Vidya Mukti. For those who ask, it is said a jnani with a body is a Jivan Mukta, and he attains Vidya Mukti when he drops off this body. But this difference is only for the onlooker, not for the jnani. His state is the same before and after the body is dropped. We think of the jnani as a human form or as being in that form. But the jnani knows he is the self, the only reality which is both inside and outside, and which is not bound by any form or shape. There are no stages in realization or mukti itself. There are no degrees of jnana, so that there cannot be one stage of jnana with the body and another stage when the body is dropped. The jnani knows that nothing exists but the self. To such a one, what difference could the presence or absence of a body make? Illusion is itself illusory. Illusion must be seen by one beyond it. Can such a seer be subject to illusion? Can he then speak of degrees of illusion? There are scenes floating on the screen in a cinema show. Fire appears to burn buildings to ashes. Water seems to wreck vessels. But the screen on which the pictures were projected remains unscorched and dry. Why? Because the pictures were unreal and the screen is real. Again, reflections pass out from a mirror, but the mirror is not in any way affected by the quality of the reflections. So the world is a phenomenon of the single reality, which is not affected in any manner. Reality is only one. Reality is at once being and consciousness. To know that is to be that in the heart, transcending thought. Absolute surrender to the Supreme Lord, whereby the I and mine are destroyed, is the one means to realize immortality. The Supreme Being, the one ultimate cause of the universe, manifests himself as many which do not exist apart from him. To destroy the ego and be the self is the supreme method of attainment. Answer to the question, who am I? An answer that comes in and by the mind is no answer at all. The answer is in the egoless state. There is no greater mystery than this. That being the reality ourselves, we seek to gain reality. We think that there is something binding our reality and that it must be destroyed before the reality is gained. It is ridiculous. A day will dawn when we will ourselves laugh at our efforts. That which is on the day of laughter is also now.